Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. The most entertaining hour of your day is underway live here on WKAR AM 870. 1051 FM. It's Friday, or as I like to say, Fri-yay, July 27th, 2018, in a matter of days. I mean, this is the final weekend in the month of July 2018. Can you believe that? In a matter of days, it's going to be August 1st, folks. Oh boy, the summer is just cruising on along, isn't it? Well, enjoy it while it's here, right? It's a beautiful day here in mid-Michigan. A bit of a sad one, though, here on WKAR's Current Sports, because the man who has been our engineer behind the glass for the last 6 months is saying goodbye to all of us. His name is Ian Hawley. Throughout these last 6 months, you've gotten a chance to get to know Ian, and he's done an outstanding job as engineer here on the show, you know, having to fill some pretty big shoes with the two prior engineers before him in Isaac Cousins and, of course, Alex Sharg. Ian, you did a heck of a job, my man. But your thoughts and feelings, man, on this being your last day behind the glass as the man in charge working the board.
It's sad, man. It's sad. I really don't want to leave, but I'm happy for the experience that I've had here. I'm grateful to you for being such a great mentor to me so far. And I look forward to keeping in touch with you in the future and maybe participating in some future Current Sports episodes as a highly regarded guest.
Definitely. Well, without a doubt, you're family now. You're part of the Current Sports family, and this isn't goodbye. It's definitely see you later, right?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I tell you what, when looking at these past 6 months, because you didn't get a chance to, you know, help us out with the football coverage.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you were there right next to me, front row, front and center, down at Little Cedars Arena covering the NCAA men's basketball tournament. We covered countless Michigan State men's basketball games this season. You know, we got out to a few events and you learn how to shoot. You even covered a fashion show, for goodness sake.
Mm-hmm.
And out of everything you've covered, I mean, what has to be your favorite moment?
That fashion show was really cool. It was a great charity event, and a lot of the Spartan athletes came out to participate in that.
Yeah, that was for Lauren. Lauren H. does that annual fashion show, raising money for a great, great cause.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, like Lou Ross Tum Tum Nairn Jr., you know, he walked in it. I know head coach of the Michigan State women's basketball team, Susie Merchant, she walks in it. Because, of course, Lauren H. Was a member of the MSU women's basketball team. But, yeah, you went out there and shot that for us. That had to be really cool for you.
Yeah, that was sweet. But I would say March Madness was definitely the best thing that we covered. That was a dream come true for me. I had never even been to a March Madness game before that. So that was my first experience with the tournament. And despite Michigan State not moving on from the first round, we got to see a couple of great games. So I'm really happy with the experiences I've had. And I want to say thank you to you and the rest of the people at WKAR who have made that possible for me.
Definitely, yeah. I think the NCAA tournament definitely takes the cake. So, all right, in just a moment, we hope to have here on the show, it's going to be a loaded show, Jack Ebling, Greater Lansing Sports Hall of Fame inductee, and also part of the selection committee, board member, and also host of The Drive with Jack and Tom from weekdays from 3 to 6. Jack is scheduled to join me live here in studio in a matter of minutes. And around 1:20, so exactly 15 minutes from now, we will welcome to the show for the first time Bill Beekman, who is the new athletic director here at Michigan State University. As we all know, last week, Bill was introduced at Building 1855 in front of the press, in front of the public, as the new AD at Michigan State. And there's been a lot of conversation around that hire. Spartan Nation certainly weighing in with mixed feelings about the hire. Bill has certainly said the right things. And, you know, when you listen to the, I guess you can say, the backup that he had, right, before Bill even took the mic, I mean, he got the endorsement of head coach Tom Izzo, head coach Susie Merchant. We also heard from Mark D'Antonio during that press conference. And, you know, they feel confident that Bill is going to do an amazing job. So he'll be joining us at 1:20 for 10 minutes, and then we'll have your headliners for you. It's going to be a bit of a different show today as far as the order goes. And then on the back end of the show, he is actually in town, our dear friend Deshaun Tate, college basketball reporter, host, and producer for CBS Radio in Atlanta. We'll be joining us live here in studio. But right now, I want to get to our first guest for today's Current Sports, because he was actually present for last night's. I love going to this event on the yearly, because, you know, Bob Every and those in charge, along with Bob, and putting this whole thing together when it comes to the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame, it's always a fantastic event. And this area, boy, oh, boy, you talk about talent. Oh, my goodness. I mean, every year you look at the names and the teams that get inducted and you say, wow, he and she and that team was from Lansing. It's absolutely amazing. And right now we have live in studio a dear friend of the show. You guys know him very, very well. He is actually a member of the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame board. He's also an inductee, and he is the host of The Drive with Jack and Tom, which you can listen to weekdays from 3 to 6 p.m. on the Team 92.1 FM. Jack Ebling joins me live here in Studio S. Jack, how are you doing, my man? It had to be a fantastic night last night.
It was a great night, Al, and I'm thinking 2036 for Al Martin's induction.
Is that so?
The only question is whether you'll be in New York or L.A. by then. Probably. So, you know, the thing is, if you stick around, you're a lock. You're a first ballot guy. So,
gotcha. Well, thank you so much, Jack. We'll see if that comes to fruition, right? But that'd be...
If I'm still on the committee, you'll be in. I'll be 96 or no.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jack. You being a 2006 inductee, is that right? Make sure I get that year right.
2006, yeah.
2006 is when you were inducted.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just another testament to your remarkable sports broadcasting and reporting career. What was that moment like for you in 06?
It was phenomenal to be recognized by your community. And I was speaking just after Pat O'Keefe, the Grand Ledge coach, who was also part of that class. But it's always a thrill when you have something like that. We were in Chicago, and I heard Jim Delaney talking about, this is my 30th year. And I'm thinking, well, this is 35 for me, and I'm not retiring, and he is. So, but this year will be my 50th straight Michigan-Michigan State game.
Wow. This will be your 50th straight. Oh, there are not too many people living that can say that, Jack. That's remarkable. I mean, are you going to, like, throw a party?
I mean, Jim Brandstatter, I think, has 54, something like that.
Wow.
Because he started when he was an infant.
Right.
In the womb or
just
something.
Just popped out the womb, right? Going to Michigan and Michigan State games.
That's a long time.
It is. That's remarkable, Jack. Now, I want to segue to this. Now, you being on the selection committee for the Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame, I mean, you're in charge of selecting, you know, the annual inductee class.
Right.
I would love to be a fly on the wall for one of those conversations, one of those meetings. What is that like? What is that room and conversation like?
You know, seriously, and I've mentioned this to Bob Every, that we need a couple of younger members of the selection committee, and you would be perfect.
Really?
Yes.
And why do you say that?
Well, I think that you're committed to the area. I think that you understand the sense of history, the importance of history. But, you know, we have some people on there, and the sports landscape has changed quite a bit. So we need some younger blood on the committee. Bob Every does an amazing job, he and Jeff Kegler and Barb DeLue. But still, we need an infusion of younger people. So I mentioned you and Graham Couch.
Nice. Yeah. I would be honored. I mean, I tell you what, this area as well, Jack. And again, for me, again, my experience pales in comparison to, you know, the current board, because, I mean, you guys have been in this area longer than me, and you know the deep history when it comes to the world of sports here in the greater Lansing area. I mean, but what's the debate back and forth like? I'm pretty sure you guys probably have some names and teams that, you know.
It's knockdown, dragout. I want to tell you, the last time, I mean, I thought maybe someone's going to walk out or no punches thrown.
It got that heated in the room?
It got pretty heated. But you know what? We have so many qualified nominees. We never have a hard time figuring out who should get in. It's who do we have to put on the back burner for another year.
Right.
And, you know, we may have 100 people who are deserving.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And anyone can nominate someone from this area. All they have to do is go online to LansingSportsHallOfFame.org and go to nominations. And you'd be surprised. There are some very good people who haven't been nominated.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there a cap every single year? Like, okay, we want to put in this amount of people. We're not going to go over this amount and two teams every year. Is there a cap that you guys try and debate about?
I think there's an idea of what works. You don't want the program going forever.
Exactly.
But it's based on the tiers of votes. We start voting, and you have to have so many votes to advance the next round, and it's multi-phased.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this year we had 8 individual inductees. You might have 7. You might have 6. This year we had 3 teams.
Mm-hmm.
That's unusual. But they were all so close, and we couldn't separate them.
Exactly. Jack, every year is special. Every inductee class is special.
Right.
What made this year's and last night's ceremony unique in your eyes?
Well, I think the most interesting part was the Lansing All-Stars, which was a semi-pro football team, had a lot of former Michigan State players, a lot of high school stars, and that's what happened in the late 60s and early 70s. Charlie Wiedemeyer, former Spartan great, legendary high school coach who had ALS, coached from a golf cart with his wife, reading his lips and sending into plays. She came back from Los Gatos, California. And then Randy Kinder, who, in my mind, is the best high school football player I have seen in mid-Michigan.
Randy Kinder is the best you've seen.
The best. Now, from what I've heard, Dean Look might have an argument, but that was in the 50s.
Yeah, gotcha.
Mid-50s. But the best player I've seen, I only go back 50 years, but that, I would say Randy Kinder would be the best.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Was there a speech in particular that really touched you last night?
Yeah, there were a couple. And Lindsey Bowen.
Yeah.
Former Michigan State standout, number 2 all-time scorer here. But she was a great softball player as well at Danceville, went on to WNBA, and now she's coaching. And she talked about being toughened up by her siblings and being thrown off, you know, different vehicles and things and how it made her stronger and some of the things that she went through to become the player she was. And she actually signed her own letter of intent to play basketball at Michigan State when she was 10 years old.
Signed her own letter.
She wrote it out. She said, I, Lindsey Bowen, commit to play basketball at Michigan State, and dated it, signed it. She was 10 years old. And
look at that. It came to fruition,
and,
right?
It happened. And 10 years later, after that, she was playing in the national championship game.
Amazing.
In 2005.
Talk about speaking or writing it into existence, right? I'm a firm believer in that, right? Yeah,
yeah.
Very prophetic, without a doubt, Jack.
Yeah.
All right. Also, before we get you out of here, Jack, I want to talk about the drive with Jack and Tom.
Yeah.
You guys you knocked it out the park. I got a chance to tune in to a lot of your coverage out in Chicago at Big Ten Media Days, yourself and Tom Crawford. Outstanding stuff. You got the chance to talk to a lot of coaches, a lot of players as well. What was that like? What was your favorite moment, maybe a favorite interview from some of the coaches and players that you talked to during those 2 days out in Chi-Town?
Well, we had 22 interviews.
22 interviews.
Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe my favorite, and I would not have expected it going in, was Matt Millen.
Really?
Yeah.
What a story with Matt, too.
Oh, yeah. The fact he's lost the 50 pounds and he knows he needs the heart transplant. If he doesn't get it, he's probably not going to make it.
Exactly. And he's still going to be broadcasting this upcoming year.
He said, if I croak, I croak.
Wow. My goodness, that had to be incredibly emotional, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He was very open about that, talking
but
to
so
you guys.
But so many of the players were so great. I mean, Trace McSorley, the Michigan guys were terrific. Kari Willis was unbelievable. Brian Lewerke, L.J. Scott.
Yeah.
Later on, he used his little sister's line, but when he was with us,
I saw that.
He was fine. Hey, I have to thank you, first of all, because when I went to the National Sports Media Association Awards, you filled in on Press Pass. And, you know, I didn't know if I was going to get my job back when I came back. People said, you know, hey, Al was really good, you know. Go back and go to North Carolina again.
No, stop it.
And we have Deshaun Tate on the show this week, Sunday night.
Nice. Yeah. He's a great guy.
He's
I love
in town,
Deshaun.
So.
Right.
Yeah.
That's great stuff. And Deshaun will be joining us again, for those listening. Deshaun will be with us in about 30 minutes or so at 1:45. And
yeah, I think it's amazing, Al. I was talking to Crawford about this, and we couldn't remember a time when four Big Ten teams are in the consensus top. Well, from one division,
right,
are in the consensus top 11, and five teams from the conference are in the top 11.
Amazing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't wait for the college football year to start and to see how things shake out in the Big Ten. Now, I'm curious because when Mark D'Antonio took the podium in day two, 9:30 a.m. on Tuesday,
right,
and this whole John Reschke story broke. I mean, what was the buzz like with you all as media members when you heard that John Reschke was still going to be a part of the team? And then later on, Chris Olari, you know, gets the screenshot of the text message that was sent and the whole N-word. I mean, what was that like being out there and that story kind of unfolding amongst you all?
We expected that it was moving in that direction. Didn't know where it was exactly in terms of the sixth year of eligibility, in terms of the players. Didn't know that the black players were unanimous in support of this. Surprised me a little bit. Didn't know that this was really a player-driven decision. I talked to P.J. Fleck about it, and he said, bad teams have no leadership. Average teams have coach leadership, and great teams have player leadership. And apparently there are a lot of leaders on this football team, and Mark D'Antonio says, hey, it's your team.
Which I love the way D'Antonio handled this. I mean, hey, if the players wanted him on the team and they took a vote, and again, it surprised me as well. I mean,
they'd take two votes. They took a vote of the team,
and
then
they
said,
okay,
now we're going to just, we don't want anybody being influenced or feeling any peer pressure. And when they came back with 100% support for Reschke, but, you know, you wonder about this when someone is that age, is that who they are or what they did? And second chances are fine as long as you're true and contrite. And you realize the mistakes you've made. He's coming back. He's lost a year of play, and he's lost a scholarship. He's not going to have a scholarship. And he could have gone somewhere else and gotten one. But he wanted to finish what he started, and he wanted to be here.
Right.
And I think his teammates know how sorry he is for that.
2 minutes left for you, Jack. Yeah. I want to end on a positive note. You just mentioned a minute ago the Kari Willis speech. I have watched it about probably five times now.
Yeah.
So inspirational.
Yeah.
I think he lived up to what the kind of the standard that Kirk Cousins set back in 2011. What was it like for you listening to the words that Kari spoke while in Chicago? That was amazing watching that.
I was so happy for him because I know what it meant to him. But here's a guy who at 7 months of age was rushed to Mott Children's Hospital with 108-degree temperature. They didn't think he would live. At 6 years old, he is standing up at a funeral with his best friend, who has been beaten up and killed by his mother's boyfriend. I mean, he's been through so much. And his first start was the 2015 game against Michigan. He was on the field for the perfect 10. You know, and here he is 3 years later, and he is really the model Spartan, I think.
Very well said. My man, Jack Ebling. Again, you can listen to Jack along with his co-host, Tom Crawford, at 3 p.m. from 3 to 6 every weekday. They'll be on the air, of course, today on the Team 92.1 FM. The
we are going to get Al back on Press Pass. We're negotiating with his agent.
Yes, we'll talk. Yeah, I'll let my agent know, right, Jack? Jack, outstanding job. In just a moment, we are scheduled to have Bill Beekman in exactly a minute now. We should have Bill calling in. Bill Beekman, of course, the AD, new AD, athletic director here at Michigan State University. Let's take our first break, and when we come back, we hope to have Bill on the phone. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports.
All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just finished up a great chat with the one, the only, Jack Ebling, as he gave us a brief recap of last night's Greater Lansing Area Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremony. And we also talked some Big Ten Media Days with him. I want to go directly to our second guest for the hour, who is joining us via phone right now. I know he's on a tight schedule. We got him for 10 minutes. Bill Beekman, who is the new athletic director here at Michigan State University. Bill, thanks for your time on this Friday afternoon. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Thanks for having me, Al.
Good chatting with you, my man. First off, Bill, was this a job, the position of athletic director, was this a job you were vying for after you were appointed as interim AD back in February?
No, not at all. I was quite shocked when President Engler asked me to take it on in February, and so I came in and just sort of tried to make sure every day that we were doing the right thing, and made some modest changes and tried to keep the ball rolling, and I really assumed that we would at some point start a search and in sort of the normal course, and I'd go back to my day job. So I was quite surprised when the conversation started about the possibility of me doing it permanently.
So with that being said, Bill, I mean, this is a position that is still relatively new for you. Was there a particular moment when it hit you and you felt confident that you could really do this job justice if hired in a permanent role?
Well, I think that one of the early things that I did was really try and spend time with each of our coaches. And some of the coaches I had known quite well, and others not at all. And in the role of athletic director, you know, not surprisingly, you tend to spend a fair bit of time with your sort of marquee coaches in football and men's basketball. And the more time I spent with Mark and Tom and understood their issues and how I could help them, the more comfortable I became that I could do this job solidly.
Those conversations that you had with the Michigan State coaches, and you know, I was present at the press conference last week, and they gave you a ringing endorsement. Tom Izzo, Susie Merchant, and Mark D'Antonio all talking before you took the podium, and they are very confident in the job that you are going to do in this new role. I mean, what were those conversations like with those coaches?
Well, initially, what I was really trying to do is just understand them and their issues and how I could be helpful. And so I very intentionally met with each coach for about an hour. I went to their office to try and get a flavor for their turf, what their circumstances were like, and those were really well received. It gave me an opportunity to understand how I could be helpful to them. What was inhibiting them from taking the next step with their program, and so over the last 5 months we've begun working to try and break down some of those barriers and make sure that our coaches have all the tools they need to succeed.
Bill, there's been a lot of conversation about the fact that there was no national search by interim president John Engler. How surprised were you that there was no national search? And when did John kind of come to you and say, hey, we want to give you this role because we feel like you're going to be the right fit for this job?
Well, John spoke with me probably, I couldn't peg it to a day, but probably 3 weeks, a month ago. And said, you know, I've some of the coaches have come to me, and then he said that he'd done his due diligence and talked to other coaches, and he talked to representatives at the Big Ten that I'd been working with over the number of months, and asked me if I'd be interested and wanted to consider doing it because it might be a good point of stability with the program, and I said that I would be interested in pursuing that. In terms of the national search, no question that President Engler said we'd have a national search. In terms of how things work at MSU, sometimes we've done national searches, and other times we've picked folks from the inside, and it's worked both ways. So I don't see it as something that inhibits me from doing a good job, and I, as I say, it's gone both ways over the years for the athletic director position or dean or vice president searches or even the presidential search.
Yeah, that's very well said. And Bill, you know, those that do say that, you know, okay, this was an in-house hire, or, you know, you said you're going to have a national search, you didn't. And those that criticize the hire may not know much about you, Bill. What do you want to say to those in the Michigan State body that criticize this move?
Well, you know, certainly there's no question that I've never had before February 5th much experience running an athletic program, and those are the facts. My history, my background is what it is. I can't change it. But what I would encourage those folks who might be questioning the decision to hire me, what I'd encourage them to understand is that I've been in this position before. When I was 29 years old, the director of the health team left, and I was the acting COO of a 200-person medical practice here at the university. And then a decade later, our alumni association executive director retired, and I was the acting director of the alumni association for a year and a half, and I think did some transformative work there. And so I'm used to taking on challenges. I'm used to transforming things and working real hard to make them better. And so to those that are doubters, I'd say your concerns are fair. They're fair, and I just ask that they give us 6 months, give us a year, and see what progress we've made. And if they'd reserve judgment, I think they'll be pleasantly surprised.
Bill Beekman, new Michigan State University athletic director. Bill, I know you're on a tight schedule. We got just 2 minutes left here with you. I just want to address what has taken place in these last couple of years with this whole Larry Nassar scandal. How does the healing process begin here at Michigan State in light of what's gone down with the Nassar scandal? And what mistakes also do you feel have been made on behalf of the university?
Well, I think that certainly, and you heard me speak to it at the press conference, the last couple of years have been among the darkest in the history of our university. And I think that to begin and continue a healing process, the most important thing really is that every person in our department in the university, you know, do the right thing. I mean, we just fundamentally have to do the right thing. And as you've heard me talk about, from my perspective, the thing of paramount importance to the athletic department is the health, safety, and well-being of our student athletes, and that's our number one priority. When I met with the coaches, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, I talked to them about that being the number one priority of my tenure in the role, regardless of how long it was. And so I think there are times when, I mean, I remember as a kid, as a fifth grader playing basketball, your coach would always scold you and say, you know, get back to the fundamentals. You know, don't be flashy. Get back to the fundamentals. And I think this is a time in the life of the university where we just really have to get back to the fundamentals, make sure that all of the people that are part of our community are taken care of, that they're provided for. So we've been doing a lot of things. We've been rewriting policies. We've been double-checking protocols. We've been really taking a hard look from top to bottom to make sure that anything that needs to be improved is. And certainly, you know, I think that looking back on things, could there have been circumstances where the university handled something differently, either before Nassar was caught or in the months afterwards, as we tried to work through beginning a healing process? And certainly, I think it's possible to say that we could have done things differently, and we're working through trying to figure out how to make sure that all our appropriate protocols and processes are in place. And the one other thing I'd say about that is that, you know, just having those things in place is really worthless if your culture is not in the right place, and if people aren't committed to making every member of our community's experience a positive, healthy, and safe one. And so there's a piece that's getting our rules in order and making sure everything's correct. And there's a piece that's just making sure that every member of our community cares and is focused on the right things. And so we've been working really hard at that.
All right, Bill. Well, we wish you luck in this new role here at the university. And again, just like you stated, I mean, I think this university needs a change in culture. And again, hearing what the coaches had to say about you last week on Monday, a ringing endorsement. We're hoping that you do a great job in this new role. Bill, thank you so much for your time on this Friday afternoon. Have a great weekend, all right?
All right, Al. I appreciate it. And you have a great weekend as well. Take care.
Bill Beekman, new athletic director here at Michigan State University. All right, talk about a way to start the show. Jack Ebling and Bill Beekman, my oh my. Let's hit our second break, and then when we come back, we will have our current sports quick hit headliners for you. And again, hold tight because we've got Deshaun Tate, who will also be in the building, college basketball reporter, host, and producer for CBS Radio down in the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin, coming to you live here in Studio West on the campus of Michigan State University at the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences. However you may be listening, whether that be on WKAR AM 870 1051 FM, or you may be listening to the podcast version at WKAR.org or tuned in at the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. However you may be listening, we appreciate your support. We just finished up a chat with Bill Beekman, Ian Hawley, current sports engineer. We just had a really brief chat during the break about, what we thought about what Bill Beekman had to say concerning, the criticism that he has received and the university has received in promoting him as the now permanent athletic director here at Michigan State University. What were your impressions of what Bill had to say just now?
I liked hearing from him. This was the first time I'd really sat down and kind of listened to him talk at length. I'd seen a couple of his press conferences before, but just short little clips. Like we had kind of said behind the scenes during the break, it seems like he is pretty upfront and open to criticism. And it seems like he's going to do a good job as far as being transparent with the MSU students and faculty about what's going on in the athletic department. Mm-hmm. So that'll be a good way to move forward from, what's been going on here at Michigan State. It'll be interesting to see if he can step up to the athletic ideas that Mark Hollis had before him. Some of his famous innovations in the world of college basketball and football.
I just don't think Bill's not that guy. No, I mean, that's unfair to compare him to, the mind and the innovative, kind of creative mindset that Mark Hollis mm-hmm. had. I mean, I just think they're two different guys. Again, Bill is new to this role. I mean, mm-hmm. he doesn't have an extensive athletic background. He doesn't have extensive athletic experience, right?
True.
So they're two different guys. And what I liked about, just like you said, Ian, I think that Bill Beekman, I mean, he was just, he's upfront and real. I mean, hey, I get the criticism. I get the criticism. Just give me a shot here. Give me a shot. That's all he's asking. And, I think that, there's some potential here. I mean, again, we don't know how great of an athletic director Bill Beekman is going to be right now. Again, all we can do is just kind of look at the process of how he was hired and, again, give your opinion and thoughts from there. But listening to Bill Beekman, he has said the right thing so far. And I think the fact that he has the confidence in what we call the big three here at Michigan State and Susie Merchant, Mark D'Antonio, and Tom Izzo, I think that speaks volumes as well. So we'll see. Only time will tell. All right. Speaking of time, it's about that time to hit you with our current sports quick hit headliners. Here we go. And we start with some news that broke yesterday. Malik McDowell's NFL career is now over before it even really got started. The former Michigan State star, who was drafted by the Seattle Seahawks in the second round of the 2017 NFL draft, McDowell was released by the team yesterday. He missed all of last season after suffering injuries in an all-terrain vehicle crash in Michigan in July of 2017. At that time, the NFL Network reported that McDowell suffered a concussion and facial injuries. McDowell was released with a non-football injury designation. Throughout last season, the Seahawks remained vague, really, about the specific injuries, but became clear that he would never suit up. The Tacoma News Tribune is reporting that McDowell will still receive a salary in 2018 of $781,000. But McDowell, clearly a disappointing outcome when it comes to his NFL career. Again, never suited up one game with Seattle. All right, LJ Scott, Michigan and Michigan State have been talking smack since the beginning of time. The latest salvo, not counting fans and followers on social media, of course, was fired off by Michigan State running back LJ Scott. Now, during the Big Ten media days in Chicago, and you just heard Jack Ebling bring this up a moment ago, Scott fielded questions after his dealings with U of M. Quote, "It's just like we get no respect from them. And I pretty much learned that freshman year." Now, after recalling a trip to Ann Arbor, the 2015 game that ended with the Jalen Watch Jackson fumbled snap touchdown, he was asked about why he thinks there's a lack of respect from the U of M fan base. Quote, "I don't know. Probably because they are our little sisters, I guess." Oh, LJ Scott taking a jab there. Comparing the opponent to a younger sibling dates back to 07 when Michigan running back Mike Hart famously dubbed Michigan State little brother after the Wolverines 28-24 after reeling off a 110-yard rushing day. So, 2 days after that, MSU coach Mark D'Antonio replied with the perhaps prophetic quote that included, quote, "I find a lot of things they do amusing. They need to check themselves sometimes. Let's just remember, pride comes before the fall." Pride comes before the fall, one of my favorite quotes in Mark D'Antonio's history. So, yeah, LJ Scott really stirring the pot here. I have no problem with it, though. All right, Michigan State University has filed a lawsuit against more than a dozen insurance companies seeking money to help pay for costs it incurred from the Larry Nassar case, including a $500 million settlement. That's according to the suit. Now, the suit alleges the insurance companies aren't honoring dozens of policies stretching back to the late 1990s. If the companies don't pay, that would leave MSU on the hook for its full legal bills from the Nassar case, plus the $500 million that it must pay to the survivors of Nassar. This is coming from Robert Young, general counsel for Michigan State. He said this in a statement emailed around 6 p.m. yesterday. Quote, "We are suing our carriers, including our largest carrier, United Educators, for failing to honor their policies. It is disappointing and unfortunate. We have to go to court on this matter, but we are hopeful this lawsuit will bring us to speedy resolution and that the insurance companies will honor their contractual obligations." Now, the lawsuit lays out a case that the university did all it could to meet the terms of its insurance policies, only to have the companies refuse to pay the claims. Also, check this. Less than 24 hours before Larry Nassar stood in an Ingham County courtroom pleading guilty last November to sexually assaulting seven women, three Michigan State University board members were about 20 miles northwest waiting to board an airplane flying them to a weekend of Michigan State University basketball games. Now, Joe Ferguson, Melanie Foster, and Mitch Lyons all were members of the traveling party that spent the Thanksgiving holiday watching high-level basketball courtesy of the university. Now, the three trustees plus two Foster guests and one Lyons guest are listed in documents showing the official traveling party for the PK-80 Phil Knight Invitational. Now, the plane left around 5 p.m. on November 21st. Nasser, the former MSU doctor, pleaded guilty the next morning. Now, there's a piece detailed courtesy of the Detroit Free Press, kind of laying out, you know, how this has been really one of the perks of being an MSU board member and in relation and in comparison to other university board members at other schools in the Big Ten Conference. It's a bit out of the norm. So I encourage you to check out that piece. Also, more than 50,000 fans will gather this weekend for the Baseball Hall of Fame inductions to a village of a usual population of just over 1,800. There are six former players being welcomed to the village in Otsego County. That's the most players inducted in 47 years. There are 52 returning Hall of Famers expected this weekend. There is a parade down Main Street on Saturday evening. The actual induction will take place, of course, on Sunday afternoon. I'm curious, Ian, are you a big Hall of Fame ceremony watcher?
Not particularly, and as I'm sure most of our listeners know by now, I'm not a big fan of baseball in general. But I do like the ceremony. I think it's nice that you know, former professional athletes get honored for the work that they've done in sports. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe I'll tune in this year and give it a shot.
Well, I tell you what, two Tigers will be inducted, of course, with Alan Trammell and Jack Morris, who will be again etching their names in the Baseball Hall of Fame come this weekend. So, congratulations to Trammell and Jack Morris, who played together in Detroit. You know, back during the good years, right? Gosh, it's tough. It's really tough.
There haven't been any good years in a long time.
you can say that again, Ian. But congratulations to Morris and Trammell. I'll definitely be tuned in to see what they have to say this weekend. All right. The Detroit Tigers will host the Cleveland Indians for a three-game set starting tonight at 7:10 p.m. when Mike Fiers takes the mound for the Tigers. And Carlos Carrasco will pitch for the Tribe. The Tigers are currently 3-10 against Cleveland this season. Cleveland, of course, who holds the number one spot in the American League Central. All right, and this story kind of turned my stomach today when I was in the weight room. And you guys know I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan, all right? A diehard Dallas Cowboys fan, but this really was just utterly disgusting for me. Dallas Cowboys executive president Stephen Jones went a step further yesterday in discussing the team's position on the national anthem policy, saying in a radio interview that players should stand, quote, if they want to be a Dallas Cowboy. That's what Jones told KTCK 96.7 FM, that the team supports players' viewpoints, but that those issues should be put aside while they are representing the Cowboys. Now, Jones added that the players would face punishment if they chose to stay in the locker room for the anthem that had been allowed as an option under the NFL's new anthem policy that has since been put on hold pending further discussion between the league and the players' union. Now, Dallas Cowboys executive president Stephen Jones went a step further in saying this. And when you look at just this whole situation, Jerry Jones, also team owner of the Dallas Cowboys, he also weighed in on an interview and said that he fully expects his players to have their, quote, toe on the line when it comes to being on the field and standing for the anthem. And President Donald Trump, he saw this news and actually praised Jerry Jones, saying, quote, way to go, Jerry. This is what the league should do, end quote. Yeah, I'm a diehard Dallas Cowboys fan. But when you listen to that dialogue, I don't know how. I don't know how I can root for my boys this upcoming year when you have that kind of leadership. And again, by the way, Ian, this is a Dallas Cowboys team that did not have one player that knelt during the national anthem last year. So why does Stephen Jones and Jerry Jones feel the need to pop off at the mouth? I maybe because it's America's team, quote unquote, right? And they have to say, they have to speak on the big issues in the league. But if I am a player for the Dallas Cowboys, I'm swinging back. Somehow, some way. If I am a player on this team, if I am a leader on this team, I'm swinging back, dude. It was just disgusting comments.
Well, the ironic thing about this whole situation with players kneeling is if the owners and the commissioner had just left this alone, this would be a background story by now. And it's sad to say, but it honestly would be in the media. But by you know, antagonizing the players and by intensifying this through their own means of trying to police it, they've actually made the protest so much stronger, the protest that they were trying to kill in the first place. So
yeah, I hear you.
Really, if they want it to go away, they should just leave it alone. But they just keep on fanning the flames, man, and now here we are.
I just don't get the reason why Stephen Jones and Jerry felt the need to talk on this. Again, not one player from the Cowboys knelt last year. I don't know. Again. All right, that wraps it up for your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's get Deshaun Tate of CBS Radio and the ATL in studio right now. Again, a loaded show, as we've already talked with Jack Ebling of the team 92.1 FM. And had a chat with Bill Beekman, new Michigan State University athletic director. So I want to talk some college hoops with Deshaun Tate. And this is rare because, you know, we usually have Deshaun Tate actually on the phone because Deshaun, he's from the mid-Michigan area, right? But again, he works in Atlanta. It is a rare occasion to have this brother live here in the flesh here in Studio S. And he now joins us rocking his NBA 2018 Summer League cap. Deshaun, I know you're probably still on a high from out there in Vegas, right? Checking out the Summer League. That had to be an incredible experience, man. Good to see you, too.
Good to see you as well, man. Yeah, Vegas was awesome. You know, it's one of those funny things because I did the Summer League out in Utah as well as in Vegas. I did the Utah first. And if you've never been to Utah, anything that you would imagine that Utah probably is, it's exactly that.
What exactly. Do you mean by that? Okay.
It's Utah. When you think Utah, you've never been there, you go out to Utah, it's exactly what you think Utah is. And then on the reverse side, if you've never been to Vegas,
yeah,
and anything that you could probably think of that Las Vegas is, it is all of that and probably just a little bit more. So
Vegas is awesome.
It is.
I went for the first time last year, Deshaun. My fraternity brother got married.
Okay.
And well, the wedding wasn't out there. The wedding was in Jamaica. The bachelor party was in Vegas.
Okay.
So I'll just leave that at that. Okay?
There you go.
Great time out there. And when I think of Utah, I think of what? Like mountains and I don't know. Yeah. That's really all that comes to mind.
I will say this much, though. When I say that people out there absolutely love their Utah Jazz, like, and then I get it, maybe that's the only thing out there besides the Utah Utes, but mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen women out there that are, you know, probably in their upper 90s, pushing close to 100 years old,
really
decked out Utah Jazz jerseys,
the
and
fandom is real,
and hats and all kind of stuff. They love their Utah Jazz. Like when they played the Hawks in their summer league game, they came really close. I mean, it wasn't a sellout, but it was like over probably like 14,000 people. I think what Breslin sits, what, for about 14,000, 15,000, yep, something really close to that. They filled it with like 14,000, 15,000 people for a summer league game. That
wow.
was awesome.
That's amazing. Now, real quick, Deshaun, I do want to one NBA note. I know when it comes to the Atlanta Hawks, I mean, you guys just got what, Dwight Howard down there, right?
For the Hawks. Yep, they let Dwight go.
They let him go. They waived him, right? And there was this whole big drama about that. What do you think about how the league has changed and how mobile it is today? Are you in favor of the mobility that we are currently seeing in the NBA in 2018?
I am to an extent, but there's just so much movement, you know, and that's not even just in the NBA and just necessarily with Dwight Howard's situation, but even more so, just you see a lot of it with college and transfers, how it's so easy to transfer. I think Tom Izzo talked about that within the last year or two about how easy it is for guys to just up and go. Mm-hmm. If a situation they don't feel like is fitting them, or, you know, guys don't want to sit on the bench and wait their turn after 2 or 3 years or whatever, to get their fair shot, at least that they feel. But it's the same way in high school. You know, there's guys just jumping around and transferring schools. And so it's a lot to keep up with. Even in college basketball, the transformation that the conferences have kind of have gone in, it's kind of really hard to keep up. It's not as traditional as it once was. And so that makes it a little bit tough and a little bit more difficult, especially for guys like us who have to keep up and it's their jobs. But it is certainly a lot of movement, and I just encourage people to embrace it. That'll make it maybe not necessarily a lot easier, but just for diehard basketball fans, if it's important to you, you're going to keep up. So it's just a new wave. Just like everything else, everybody's getting older, everybody's maturing, things are changing, new rules, new regulations. There's so much going on. I just think that people just need to go ahead and embrace that.
I'm embracing it because I tell you what, you look at the situation with DeMar DeRozan, it's a business at the end of the day. And if you don't look out for yourself, you're going to be on the short end of that stick, all
That's
right?
That's true.
So, and Dwight Howard, you guys waived him down in Atlanta, and now he's with Washington now.
He went over to Brooklyn with the Nets, and then they waived him, and then he went from the Nets over to Washington. So it went from Hawks to Charlotte, and Charlotte to the Nets, and the Nets over to Washington. So
a lot to keep up with.
A lot to keep up with. Too much sometimes.
All right. Well, I want to talk some college basketball with you as we have about 8 minutes left here in the hour, Deshaun.
Sure thing.
College hoops. I tell you what, I can't wait for it. I'm excited to see what Tom Izzo's team is going to be able to put together now. Of course, they will be without Jaren Jackson Jr. and Miles Bridges, who you saw both of those players out in Vegas at the Summer League. We had you want to kind of talk about, you know, what you thought of their games as far as being NBA ready for this upcoming year. But when it comes to college basketball, what excites you the most about this upcoming season, and what is your future outlook for Tom Izzo's Spartans?
Well, probably more so just what Duke is kind of putting together coming off of a year where they had so many top guys that were coming out of high school and entering college basketball. And last year, four out of their five starters were freshmen. And then now coming into this year, it looks like it's going to be very much like or something similar and close to the same thing. But their lineups can kind of fluctuate so much with what they're able to put on the floor. And just looking at it, you got your Zion Williamson and your Cam Reddish and then Trey Jones, who's a spitting image of his brother Tyus Jones. They're like the same person, the same player all over again. And so that's going to make it really intriguing in addition to what Kentucky is putting together. And I'm kind of interested with college basketball, the way things are kind of shaping out in terms of the fact that guys are able to like reclassify so quickly. You're seeing more and more not just transfers like we were talking about earlier, but more so reclassifications as well. So you have that. Now, as far as the Tom Izzo's team goes, I mean, this is going to be one of his more interesting groups, if you will, just with, you know, so many freshmen coming in who I think are really talented. And I think that will be really key because you're not really sure who you're going to be able to key in on. You don't know if it's going to be Gabe Brown. You don't know if it's going to be Aaron Henry.
Right.
You know, of course, Ward came back. I'm really excited to see him back. And then, of course, returning with one of the best three-point percentage shooting players in the country in Cassius Winston. So, you know, putting it together, I think it's going to be really interesting. I'm not really sure what we can expect so much with Foster Lawyer because of his size. But he tends to give off that Drew Nitzel-type feel.
Doesn't
when
he?
Drew Nitzel yeah. was here. And so from what I've seen from all of those guys, I think that there's a reason for some optimism here at Michigan State for sure.
Out of those young pups you just mentioned, and Aaron Henry and Gabe Brown and Foster Lawyer, which one are you the most excited to watch? And who you think can make kind of an immediate impact?
Well, I mean, from everything that I've been hearing, I'm still kind of looking through a little bit from, you know, dissecting. I've seen, obviously, all of their games, but
the Moneyball highlights online. But again, take that with a bag of salt.
That is very
true. Summer league basketball, man.
Summer league, that is
very true.
Ain't
a lot of defense getting down, bending the knees going on, all right?
No, that is very, very true. But from everything that I'm hearing about Aaron Henry, I'm hearing good things about Gabe Brown and a lot of other guys as well. But from everything that I'm hearing about Aaron Henry, I'm hearing a lot of positive things about him and his game. I'm interested to see what Foster Lawyer is going to do and going to be because, you know, he is that prototypical point guard who's going to distribute, get other guys involved after he, you know, gets into a little bit more of his mature size and hit the weight room a little bit. I'll be interested to see if he can kind of get out there from a defensive standpoint, which I know that Tom Izzo will certainly inject that within him, or you'll be sitting next to Tom Izzo. But from a standpoint of him defensively and kind of trying to mold him into a Scott Skiles type of guy where he's a distributor, a facilitator, a guy that can play on both ends of the ball. And then, of course, Cassius Winston. I'm really going to be interested to see what he can do from a standpoint of, you know, penetrating the lane, kind of dumping it off, quick decision making, improving on the jump shot. And I know that there's one more guy that I'm thinking of.
For Michigan State?
Correct.
I'm trying
Langford,
to think.
Langford.
Oh, of course.
Langford.
Right.
I know he's kind of settled in on that mid-range jump shot. He's talked about that a little bit as far as last year. But extending that and still going to the basket a lot stronger than he did last year, those are just a couple notable things that I'm looking forward to out of Tom Izzo's ball club this year.
Deshaun, you being from this area, being a Spartan fan, Spartan fans are still licking their wound.
Oh, yeah.
From what happened downtown Detroit in the second round of the NCAA tourney in the Syracuse game.
I'm one of those guys licking wounds right now.
So Spartan fans are still, you know, upset about, you know, what happened and how things ended last season. What's it going to take to kind of turn that page and to breathe more life and hope into the program right now? Because every time I talk to a Spartan fan, it's like, oh, man, that Syracuse game, Al, they still are
still
not
talking
over
about it. Yeah.
Still not
I'm
over
I'm one
it.
Of them. I'm one of them. And this is the thing is that, you know, there's been other years where maybe you got, you know, dumped a little bit early. I mean, this one probably hurts a little bit more than the George Mason one and maybe a couple of the others, but more so the fact that you kind of felt slighted a little bit because you knew that you were just – hands down better than Syracuse. And that was a game that you should have won. And on top of that, you know, Syracuse being a team that probably shouldn't have made, looking at their, you know, resume from top to bottom, shouldn't have made it to the NCAA tournament. But nevertheless, as far as getting over that hump, I think that Michigan State just kind of has to go back to the drawing board and play the way that Michigan State basketball is. I think they got away from that a little bit, from recruiting all the way into the X's and O's and everything all across the board. And it's easy for Tom Izzo to say that he takes the blame for a lot of that.
Right.
He's a blue-collar guy, and he's going to do that to kind of kill the media and whatever else coming after him. But, you know, I think they're going to have to go back to those war drills, put on those football pads all over again in practice. Kind of, you know, they were the top rebounding team in the country for so many years when I was a teenager. Getting back to that, locking down on defense, not just slapping the floor, but having a reason to slap that floor. You know, those type of things. But they started, I feel like, going after making sure that I think Tom Izzo kind of sensed that he had to kind of go in the in take the route that a lot of the other coaches were taking with, you know, taking one and done guys and the lottery picks and things like that. And while that is still good, you still want to stick to the method that got you to seven Final Fours, and that's just being able to put guys on the floor that have good chemistry, going to be hard workers, and do all the little things.
Deshaun Tate, you can follow all things Deshaun Tate at Tate's Take Sports on Twitter. And as we have just 9 minutes left here, Ian Hawley, we wish you well on your future endeavors, my man. You have been listening to WKAR's Current Sports.